Welcome to you, and Nick and Sally are here. Special welcome to you guys. I won't draw more attention to yourself. You might be here undercover, undercover boss. My first Sunday back, so undercover boss is here. I'm only teasing. Nick knows that. So just a couple of notices, really. I've been away for 2 weeks. Good to be back. I hope it's good for you too. Just a couple of things just to draw to our attention. I had a great holiday, thank you. Feel refreshed and ready to hit the floor running again. Just a couple of things just to bring to your attention. We're doing an Alpha course, church. It starts on the 24th of September. And so I want to encourage you, there's some of these available today. Now is the time to start taking a moment of courage, a moment of faith, to start inviting your friends to come to Alpha. Okay, myself and John Pike and Jonathan and Les and we're going to get some other people involved in the talks as well. So we're going to be doing this morning and evening. And at the moment, there's hardly anybody signed up. Well, quite frankly, there's two in the morning and one in the evening, okay? Now, we'll do it for two and one. Absolutely, of course we will, because I want three people in the kingdom of God. I hope you do too. But I know there'll be more. So please take one of these away today. And I know it's hard to speak to a friend about Jesus. I've got friends, you know. Not many, but I've got some. All of you are my friends. I spend more time with you than my other friends. But and you're already believers, so you're all right. But I want to encourage you to take that step of faith. I know it's hard. I know it's hard to do. But do please just take a step of faith to do that. If you want to be on it, we're going to have, for the whole of this Alpha course, we're going to have a prayer team who are going to be praying every single Thursday for Alpha. If you want to be part of that, I want you to write to alpha@radiobaptist.org.uk. And I want to ask you to write to that. If you want to help in any way, do that. Write to Alpha as well. But let's be thinking about Alpha. Let's be inviting people to come and hear the gospel. The notices are in the notice sheet. I'm not sure the things that it says about tomorrow are on. It's bank holiday, so I don't know about body condition. I won't be going tomorrow to that. Strone and tone, I might give that a miss as well tomorrow. I won't be going to the girls group, but that is on tomorrow, girls. The girls' group is, or Meg's going to lead you tomorrow, girls. So come along to that group. And the prayer meeting, is that on tomorrow night? No. So the only thing that might be on is body condition. I don't know if body condition on, but we could all give that a miss, couldn't we? Somebody said to me, Pastor, I haven't seen you for 2 weeks. You're looking slimmer this morning. God bless that church member. It is possibly not true, but God bless them anyway. Next week, we've got our first Sunday. So next week, the children have gone out to Crace this morning. So there's a Crace. The other children, you're staying in today. You've got to listen to Pastor. Next week, we're back to first Sundays, and then we're back to all our normal activities. This is the last week of summer recess. Next week, we're back into normality. Next week, we've got a picnic lunch at church. So bring your picnic along and have fellowship after the morning service, which is the first Sunday, which I'll be speaking at. In preparation for many of our young people going back to school. Mike's got one more notice, and I have as well, but I'll let you do yours first. You got your shorts on, come up. It's not so well, okay.
Good morning, everybody. Just to let you know that next Sunday is our student prayer evening service. It would be really great if you could all come along as we just pray for them, be there for them, just let them know as a church that we love them, and as we kind of commission them, it'd be really great if you could be there. Also, beforehand at 4:30 in the lounge, if you are a parent of a student or you're a supporter of students, we'd love you to come along as we kind of just meet together, talk about what's going to happen next year. And also, it'd be really great for some of the freshers to get to know, obviously, second and third year students, just really to chat about stuff and pray for them as well. So that'd be really great if you could come along to that. And also, if you're interested in being a supporter of our students, please come and talk to me or Adrian and Margaret Wybrew. It'd be really great if you could get involved in that as well. Thanks very much.
Great. So next week, there's lots going on. We're also going to have a special time in our services next week when we're going to be praying for Jonathan and his family as he next Sunday officially starts his new exciting ministry as a student minister with us. So we're going to be praying for him. So next Sunday is a busy Sunday, but this Sunday is busy too, because tonight we're going to baptize somebody in the water. Is it warm? I hope it is, because it's cold outside. So we're going to baptize somebody tonight. We're going to baptize Anthony. And let me tell you, church, I read his testimony. Jonathan, you read it too, didn't you? Woo! Was like that, wasn't it? That's a good description. Woo! So come tonight and hear what he has to say. And please, want to encourage you, no school tomorrow. Kids, I know, ask your mum and dad first. don't ask me. But Mike, just in time, you can come. And we're going to baptize him tonight, so I want him to come along tonight. I think that's it. That's enough, isn't it? Have I missed anything? I hope not. If I have, well, never mind. God bless. Right, who's going to come? Somebody's going to come and read the scripture for us this morning. Is somebody all queued up? Wonderful. Thank you. Let's listen to the word of God.
The reading is from Luke 6, 46 to 49. Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I say? As for everyone who comes to me and hears my words and puts them into practice, I will show you what they are like. They are like a man building a house who dug down deep and laid the foundation on rock. When the flood came, the torrent struck that house but could not shake it, because it was well built. But the one who hears my words and does not put them into practice is like a man who built a house on the ground without a foundation. The moment the torrent struck that house, it collapsed, and its destruction was complete.
Thank you. Let's just pray. Father God, we thank you so much for your word. We love your word, Lord. And we just pray now that as we seek to understand a bit more about what this passage has to say to us this morning at Rainy Baptist Church, that you would speak to us by your spirit, that you would convict our hearts and change our mindset. In the name of the Lord, we ask these things. Amen. I was cold a minute ago, but once I start preaching, that'll probably be just about right, won't it? But I don't know about you, but I'm excited. Anybody excited this morning? Praise God, there's two of you excited. I know you've had the summer, but the summer's nearly over, okay? I'm excited. Why am I excited? Because over the summer, I've been working a lot on our five-year vision plan. I'm excited this Wednesday that we're going to be sharing our five-year vision plan with our leaders. I'm excited that in September, I get to share it with you at our church meeting. I want to encourage you all to be there if you can. You know when you've got something inside, it's just like bursting to get out and you're not allowed to say anything. I'm like that at the moment. I'm like, what can I just tell somebody? And I'm really excited because over the summer, I've been thinking about what God is asking us to do over the next 5 years as a church. And as I've been thinking about that and praying about it, and let me tell you, you've said it. We got loads of responses from you in that week of prayer and fasting, and God has confirmed it. Lots of different things. It's a lot of the same things through different people in different ways. It's been absolutely amazing. I asked Les and Jonathan as we went to do it. It was really exciting. And we're so excited about the plans that God has for us. And a lot of what we're going to be talking to you about over the next couple of months is about discipleship. It's all about discipleship. It is all about discipleship. It is all about our relationship with Jesus. And you might say, well, Pastor, we know that. I wonder if we do know it, but I wonder if we've lost that whole sense of what it means to be a disciple of Jesus in this modern age. I really am struck since I've been back in England, just looking at the state of the church and saying, where is true living discipleship with men and women, boys and girls in the church? Where is mentoring, like brothers and sisters, and encouraging each other and building each other up and supporting each other in the faith? And over the next couple of months, we're going to be talking to you a lot about discipleship. We're going to talk to you so much about it, you're just going to think, oh man, it's better if I just do it. So just start doing it now. And so today I want to just look a little bit about discipleship. I called this talk Taking Up the Cross and a Shovel. And I want to talk to you a little bit about this passage of scripture that we just had read to us this morning. We all, when we hear that passage of scripture, what do we all think? The wise man built his house upon the sand. Don't we? I know it in Spanish, you know. Kind of. No, I won't go there. But I want to. When we think of this passage, we all think of that. But we're going to go straight into the subject matter this morning because the children are in and I don't have much time. So I want to go straight into the matter. There's no introduction except to say this. Open your Bibles in that passage of Scripture, verse 46, verse 47, 48. Verse 46, Jesus asks a soul-searching question. In verse 47, Jesus calls for decisive action. And in verse 48, Jesus gives a dramatic illustration. There are my 3 points this morning. Number one is this. In verse 46, Jesus asks a soul-searching question. Ooh, absolutely. In verse 47, Jesus calls for decisive action. And in verse 48, Jesus gives a dramatic illustration. So I want to look at these three things with you this morning. The first being this, number one is this. Jesus asks a soul-searching question in verse 46. Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I say? Jesus has just finished delivering the greatest sermon in history, his famous Sermon on the Mount. He talks to the crowd before him about the kingdom of God, how to inherit it. He talks to them about a matter of time and eternity, profound messages of truth and scripture he had just been speaking to them about, yet always in the simplest words and ideas, because that was what Jesus was like. But he actually was aware that the people in the audience were onlookers, observers. They nodded their heads in agreement. And they said amen in the appropriate places. If you ask them what they believed, the answer would be this. We follow the great rabbi, Jesus of Nazareth. But for all of that, Jesus' teaching, which they enjoyed, it had no radical impact on their life. And the same could be true of us often. How we know and understand the teaching, but does the teaching of Jesus have any radical impact on our lives as individuals in this church and as a church corporately? Jesus knows the frustration that many preachers experience on Sundays, and I have to say, sometimes even me, looking out on a group of nodding believers who say, amen, and thank you at the door, and then they do nothing with the truth of scripture that you've presented that morning. It's not just me. I want to suggest that there's many people around the world that would do the similar thing. Pastor Johnson, I'm sure you would agree with me. Jesus knows what frustration, not only on Sundays, but every day of the week, in fact. As Christians open their Bibles, read a portion of Scripture for their daily reading, and say to the Lord, Lord, thank you, Lord. Close their Bibles, head off to work, forgetting all that they have understood or read before they even get to the front gate of the house. And so as Jesus ends this great sermon, he closes his appeal of, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do the things which I say? You see, it's so easy to say, Lord, Lord, amen, amen. We can all do it, me included. But unless there's a radical difference in our lives because of the truth of Scripture that has been delivered to us, then we're in big trouble. If Jesus is Lord of our lives, there must be obedience to what he says to us. See, I hope that people that preach on this pulpit, and I will protect it as much, well, I will protect, not as much as I can, I will protect it, that when people stand here, that they will declare the word of truth to us and nothing else. You see, if Jesus is Lord of our lives, there must be obedience to what he says. But so often we can say, Lord, Lord, yes, amen, amen. But actually, what is the radical difference that takes place in our lives? In Matthew chapter 7, verse 21 to 23, it talks about this. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of the Father in my house. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, done many wonders in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. Well, that's hard-hitting stuff, people. But that's what Jesus says. He does not want people who just nod and agree. He wants people that apply the truth of Scripture to our lives so that we have a radical relationship with Jesus as a disciple. And the day that we do that is the day that the church will start to be transformed. There's three important things that strike me about these poor people that Matthew talks about. They cry, Lord, Lord. There are obviously things there, and it talks about, Lord, you remember we prophesied in your name. We drive out demons in your name. We did wonderful things in your name. Now, I'm not saying that those things aren't good. I believe in prophecy. I believe in driving out demons. I believe in those things, and I believe we have to maybe focus sometimes a little bit more on those things. I think sometimes we don't fight those things as much as we should. And I know people in my own discussion with them that they need demons to be driven out of them because they've had a life for the last 20 years when the Lord has tried to develop them, but they've let Satan win. You know, God has delivered us and set us free. And sometimes I think we don't realize that. God has delivered us and set us free. And so this passage of scripture, it goes on to say to these people, yeah, I know all these things are good. He notes their claims. You prophesied in your name. You cast out demons in my name. You've done wonderful things in my name. But then I wanted to suggest to you, sometimes those issues, sometimes we make more prioritize those things more than the things that God wants us to do in terms of just a living relationship with Jesus. You see, it says there, Jesus says in Matthew 12:39, these signs shall follow them and they should believe, but I want you to follow Jesus. Jesus, church, we follow signs and wonders, but first of all, we follow Jesus. And there's lots of people that get distracted about those things, prophecies and doing things, because they're not focusing on Jesus, because sometimes those things are not of the Lord. And we hear about that in many stories of many different churches and stuff around the world. See, I don't want us to be deceived. But see, the first thing that Jesus says to us in this question, when we look at it, he said he asked us a soul-searching question. He asked us to ask ourselves the question, what would we say? Are we one of those nodding people? Or are we one of those people that actually allow the word of God to radically change our life? You see, God wants us to be different. You see, we have the tendency to be deceived at times. Friends, what a tragic thing it is for somebody who has the word of God in their hands but just lays it aside. What a tragic thing it is that for some of us here this morning, we have the word of God in our hand but we just lay it aside. We might open it at the home and have 5 minutes of reflection, but by the time we got to the gate, we've forgotten about it. Maybe we sit on Sunday and somebody preaches from it and we say, amen, amen. Well, you don't say amen very much. You're not very Pentecostal yet. But you might nod, and then you might say to me on the door, not many do, but you might, you start to say, well done, Pastor, and then you go away and you forget about it. You see, what a wasted opportunity. What a wasted opportunity. Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I say? And the reality and the challenge that I want to put out to us this morning is, let us not be those people. And you might say to me this morning, Pastor, you've just been on holiday, but how dare you come back and say that? But let me say to you that there are some of us today that we say, Lord, Lord, but we do nothing. We do nothing with what God has taught us and revealed to us and showed to us. And actually, to be honest with you, at times, it's pretty obvious to see, too. See, Jesus wants us to be people that don't just nod. You see, when Jesus was asking the damning question, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do nothing, and do not do these things which I say? Jesus knows our inward being, doesn't he? He knows our heart. He knows our life. He knows what we're like. There's nothing that I can't hide from Jesus. There's nothing that you can't hide from Jesus, let me tell you that this morning. I could sit in my office and read my Bible, and I could sit there for 2 minutes and read my Bible and then be on Facebook for another hour and a half and come out, and all the staff will think, oh, Pastor's been an hour and a half reading his Bible. We can all deceive whoever we want to deceive, but we can't deceive the Lord. But let me ask you a simple question before we move on to point number two. Is that you sometimes? Is that you sometimes? Or are you willing, as we stand on the verge of something radical and different in this church that is going to turn us upside down and inside out, but I believe is going to see the gospel transform in this town like never before, are you willing to sit and just go? See, Jesus calls, point number two, in verse 46, Jesus calls for decisive action. Jesus calls for decisive action. I will show you what he is like who comes to me and hears my words and puts them into practice. He is like a man building a house who dug them deep and laid them on solid foundations. When the floods came, the torrent struck, the house could not shake it because it was built well. Here we read the kind of action that Jesus is calling for each and every one of us. First thing it says there, if you notice, is this: come to me. Coming to Jesus is the first step in our faith. But it's actually a continuous step also, isn't it? You see, coming to Jesus is the first step in our faith, but coming to Jesus is a continual step. Every person must come to him for himself or herself every single day. We have to keep coming back to Jesus, keeping him as our focus, trusting him alone as our Savior. You see, some of those people that just nod, they might have come to Jesus once. They've received the salvation and the grace of Jesus. That salvation can never be taken from them. Job done, sit back, relax. Until I get to 99 and then I'll just have a little chat with Jesus again before I go to be with him in glory. What a wasted life. You see, there's some people that come to Jesus and then they just rely on that for the rest of their life. But here it says, come to Jesus not just once, but every day, keeping him as your focus, trusting him alone as Savior. Lord, do you do that, church? Do you do that, people? Do you come to Jesus every day? Not just coming to him when you fancy it. One thing that I sometimes wonder in this new modern world, that we can hear lots of different opinions, can't we? And we can hear lots of different views. And we can go online and we can listen to a sermon and we can watch Christian things, and we can somehow go away and find out new ideas that sometimes change our perception. Somebody once came up to me and said, I've listened to a great talk online. It's fantastic. It's inspired me. It's wonderful. It's encouraged me. It's awesome. I said, well, what have you done about it? Oh, nothing. I was just encouraged at the time. Another person came to me and said, I've listened to something that was wonderful and encouraging and inspiring, and it said that you don't need to be involved in the local church. I said, well, may I suggest to you that you might want to go back and read the Bible again, because the Bible says that we have to be in fellowship. But it says there in that first part, come to me. In John chapter 10, verse 4 to 6, here's a beautiful picture that gives me great encouragement. It says this, when he has bought out all his own, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follows him because they know his voice. But they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run from him because they do not recognize his voice. You see, when we are people that come to Jesus and know his voice, that is the thing that will grow us in discipleship. I'm encouraged at times that people come to me and they say, Pastor, I've listened to something online, but it isn't just quite right because it doesn't read the same as the Bible does. I'm encouraged by that because I know that it says in Scripture that when we listen to the sheep's voice, he will be the one that keeps us on direction. But let me say to you this, church, there are people out there that want to tell us different things. They may put the Christian spin on it, but they want to tell us different things. And that says there that we need to keep in tune to the shepherd, to the Lord, to his teaching. So we must come to him. But it also says there, you must hear my sayings in this passage. You see, it says there, if you read it in the Bible, I will show you what he is like who comes to me and hears my words and puts them into practice. You see, it's about hearing as well. The second thing is this, we must hear what Jesus has to say to us. The word of God, the scripture, that is primarily and fundamentally the most important thing that we have in our hands. I read a staggering thing on Premier this week. 50% of young people do not read, only 50% of young people read Bibles. Read the Word of God. Oh my goodness. How about this? It also said that out of a general congregation, only 15 or 20% of you will go away today and read your Bibles this week. And the rest of you will not read your Bibles until next Sunday. I prayed against that this morning in my preparation in this church. May this never be true of us. May this never be true of us. But you see, that's the reality of the world that we're living in. That's the reality of the world that we're living in. But it says there in this verse, you know, if you want to build solid foundations in your life with Jesus, you need to hear my sayings. You need to hear the Word of God, and you need to hear the Bible. And can I suggest to you that I'm all into books. I'm reading 3 books at the moment. Well, trying to. I should probably just read 1, because it's quite hard to read 3, especially me. I'm not very clever, as you know. But I read a lot. I try to read even more than I ever did before. But can I suggest to you that I want to even say, even though I read a lot, I want to say that I think that part of the reason why people don't read their Bibles anymore is because we've had a phenomenal growth in Christian books over the last 15 to 20 years. Because we live in a fast food generation. You see, and I want to suggest to you, maybe I'm wrong or right, you can challenge me if you want. But I wonder, is in this new generation, there's so many books that can tell us in 10 minutes what the most five ways are for effective prayer. We could buy another book that tells us how to find the answer about our relationship with Jesus. There might be another book that wants to tell us how to keep our marriage healthy. There might be another book that tells us how to have the right attitude. Well, we've got the book, church. The book's here. And I wonder in this fast food generation, because we're part of it, we want to just quickly get the answers. And say, well, I've got five priorities to prayer. Okay, I'll apply it. There's something so fundamentally good about people who read their Bible every day and find the answers in that. It may take us twice the length of time than going to the Christian bookshop to buy the book with the answers. But let me tell you, it might be quicker to do it that way. But our soul and our relationship with Jesus and our understanding of Scripture will grow so much more if we read the Bible and found it. And I do believe in books. I believe in the libraries. I believe in books. I believe they're good tools. But I wonder in this fast food generation, one of the problems is that we don't read our Bibles during the week. I wonder if while the church is challenged about discipleship in this day and age, it's because somehow maybe we've forgotten how to come to the Word of God and to study the Word of God. Because let's be honest, we're all busy. Now you always tell me you're all busy. So it's probably easier just to go online and find a practical, a practical tip. I could go online now and say, Lord, I can go on to www.google. Tell me the top things of Acts. Because we're starting Acts in a couple of weeks. Tell me the top five things in Acts. And then I could just preach those top five things, can't I? And not preach the rest of the book. Well, we're not. We're actually going to preach the whole book. Might take us 6 months, but we're going to do it. Because as we journey through that, we will learn so much more about God, and it will change our relationship with God, and it will change our relationship to God, and yet then through that, it will change our relationship with God through our discipleship with Him. Now, I'm not saying that these books aren't important, but I do want to say to you that actually sometimes I wonder if we've lost that need to come to the Word because there's other resources that give us the answers. Not saying they're not good, but I want to encourage us as a church to maybe be more people that spend more time in the Word. Because it says there in that scripture there that you want to focus on Jesus and His Word. Whoever comes to me and hears my sayings, this leads on to the third point about Jesus' disciple action. Because there in that verse of scripture, as you just read it, it says, for whoever comes to me and hears my words and puts them into practice, I will show them what they are like. See, God wants us to hear His words and He wants us to put them into practice. He wants us to hear the Word and put it into practice. But then it says there, He wants us to do them. And so often as Christians, we're good at listening, aren't we, sometimes? But we're not very good at doing. And it says there, I want you to put these things into practice. But the only point that we can put things into practice with God is if we obey Him. There must be a response to Jesus' word, and I want to suggest to you that response must be obedience. Are we willing to be obedient to what God's word tells us to do? Because I think this is the key requirement of Christian discipleship. It's not knowledge, it's not ability, it's not ministry, it's not gifting, it's not vision, it's not anointing. No, all those things are good in Christian discipleship. Knowledge is good, ability is good, ministry is good, gifting is good, vision is good, anointing is good. But I want to say to you, absolutely central to Christian discipleship, our relationship with Jesus, is our obedience to God. Is our obedience to God. All these things may flow out of our obedience to God, but it starts with obedience to God. I wonder if Jesus came this week and said, I'm going to be sat in your house every day watching you read your Bible. I want to suggest that probably all of us would do it then. I wonder if Jesus came back today and said, I want you to see you do the mission of God this week, and He was here watching us. I want to suggest to you that I think the majority of us would do it this week because Jesus would be watching us. But Jesus wants us to do all things out of obedience. So he doesn't want us just to listen, but he wants us to do. Because the person that did, his life was radically changed. Living the life that Jesus laid down for us to live, following his footsteps in obedience commandment. Jesus said, come to me, hear my sayings, and do them. We may come to him, we may hear his sayings, but do we do them? My last point is this, you'll be pleased to know, just three today. So we come to the third and final point, is this. Jesus gives a dramatic illustration. I won't read it to us, we all know it. It's like I will read it actually, I think we've got a bit of time. It's like a man building a house who dug deep down and laid the foundations on the rock. Then the flood came and it struck the house, but it could not shake because it was well built. But the one who heard my words and does not put them in practice is like a man or a woman who built a house on the ground without a foundation. The moment the storms came, it collapsed and destroyed. It was destroyed completely. See, I love the way that Jesus teaches us in pictures. Jesus is really good at this because he knows that we'd understand it better. You see, I'm glad that Jesus teaches us in pictures, and he gives us a really clear picture there about a house that is built on solid rock foundations. A house that's built on no foundations will surely fall over. This picture has occupied my heart for years and years because, as I said at the start, I've sung it in Sunday school. The wise man built his house upon the rock. But it's become more real to me a couple of years back when I was involved in constructing a new church building from scratch. It came back to me there in a real meaning way because I learned a lot about foundations. I didn't know much about them before. I thought you could build a house with nothing below, but I've never been that clever about these sorts of things. But we were building something like we wanted to last in Cusco, Peru. We were building the church. And so the foundations had to be extremely solid. 3.5 meters down, they said. And then when they told me the price, I said, goodness me, can we not just do 1.5 meters down? And the architect, Amilka, said to me, Scott. Well, he didn't say to me, Scott. He wouldn't call me Scott. He said, Pastor. He said, we've got to go 3.5 meters down. I said, have you seen the price for 3.5 meters? He said, yes. I said, have you seen the price for 1.5 meters? He said, no. I said, what do you mean, no? Just divide it in half. He said, okay. Oh, yeah, I've seen it now. But no. And then I felt like saying, well, I am the pastor, you know. But I didn't play that card. But I saw these people 3.5 meters down, the foundations, that everything that went underneath the ground was just amazing. And I know because those grounds are so solid and strong that the church of two stories now can go up to 7. But I was only thinking about the 2. And what I learned there was actually if you get the foundations right, everything can grow on top of it, and everything is strong. Laying down foundations correctly is tough, long, hard, and at times costly. But it's essential. There cannot be any shortcuts. If I had done a shortcut with that and said, no, maybe the building wouldn't be standing today. It is still standing, I believe. They've told me they're going to sell it into apartments by the time I arrive in 3 weeks' time, but I'm sure they won't. But Jesus' challenge to his followers here is to lay our lives upon the strong foundations of Jesus. If you come to me and hear my words, and if you come to me and hear my sayings, then put them into practice. You are like a man who builds his house upon the solid rock. You see, I think the challenge to me and to you and to all of us at times is that we try to skimp and save on the solid foundations that we need to place in our lives for Jesus. We try to not be obedient. We often are disobedient to what God says. And I wonder if 50% of these young people do not read their Bibles, who profess to be Christians, I have to ask myself the question, as a former youth pastor a long time ago, what has happened there? You see, if we want to see this church grow into something strong and powerful and mighty, if we want to see people come to faith over the next 5 years, which we as elders want to see in a dramatical way by doing church in a very different way, but making God real, it's only going to happen if our relationship with God is strong. You see, How many of us would dare not put our hand up this morning? But if I took you aside, maybe not if I took you aside, but if you lay tonight in your bed and put your head on the pillow, how many of us can say sometimes that how many of us can say at times that actually, even though God has told us to be obedient, we haven't? Or God has told us to be put down strong foundations in our lives and we haven't? I don't think there'll be any of us that would lay our head on the pillow tonight and cannot think of one or two occasions where we haven't done that. I don't want to put you on a guilt trip, but what I want to say to you is this. Jesus wants us to build our life, our Christian faith, this church, everything that we do on solid foundations. But in this fast food world where we can find the answers in the book rather than the word, when life is so busy, I think the thing that goes first in our Christian relationship is building our solid foundations with Jesus. Church, I want to encourage you this morning. I want to beg with you. I want to plead with you as your pastor. That if that is not the case today, that your life is not built on solid foundations, the word of God in a real and meaningful, powerful way, can I beg you, can I ask you with all my heart, can I ask you to seek to change that? You know why? Because that's what God's priority is for us. You see, when our lives are built on solid foundations, on holiness, on reading the word of God, on praying, of having fellowship with the body, of winning the lost by witnessing to the gospel of Jesus, when our lives are built on solid foundations, our lives will be able to face the storms. In closing, the storms will come. Maybe the storms have already come in your life. The storms have come in my life at times. And the only thing that has kept me up is the truth of the scripture and the truth of the word, and that the devil is dead and the Lord is victorious. The only thing that's kept me standing sometimes is because I've had the word of God to keep me standing. You see, the storms are going to come. Because Jesus never said it would be easy. I was speaking to a couple of people the other day, and a lot of people have been speaking at Momentum this year, where some of our young people are now. Spring Harvest spoke about it. New Wine spoke about it. About a lot of people this year in the festivals that have been going on around the country. I've done a bit of research after what somebody told me. Somebody said to me that at one meeting, somebody spoke about how the problem with the church today is the people in the church discouraging and disempowering each other. So I took a little bit of research. I can show the evidence if you want. Over the summer, there's been 59 sermons preached in all different New Wine, all these big conferences. And out of those 59, 17 have given reference to the church is a place where we need to learn not to destroy each other, but build each other up. That breaks my heart, you know, church. Because I'm part of it and I lead it. But very interesting that maybe if God is saying a message to the churches through those conferences this year, I think there's going to be an article in Christianity in November's issue by some of these people that have spoken on it to say, church, we need to learn to build each other up on the strong foundations of Jesus. Somebody said to me just the other day when they were at Sunday school, or not Sunday school, in youth group, they learned about a butterfly. I won't say who said this, but I found it very, very helpful. A butterfly. Has anybody ever seen a butterfly's wings? Yes. Are they strong or are they fragile? They're fragile. So if you just tap a butterfly with the most easiest tap, you're going to destroy its wings and it's never going to fly again. And I thought about that in comparison to this, and I thought, you know, how many butterflies in the kingdom of God have been hit too much that they'll never fly again? When they're in that cocoon of a caterpillar, they're safe. But when they come out to love Jesus with their beautiful wings, how often does Jesus, in the form of other people, knock that butterfly's wing and they'll never fly again? Now, praise be to God. When our lives are built on solid, strong foundations, often we can repair those wings and keep on going. But it should never happen in the first place. And may it never happen in this church. And I will keep fighting till I got blue in the face to make sure it doesn't happen. But what I want to say to you is this. Imagine if your foundations were not strong. And like that little butterfly with fragile wings. You may lose. People have lost their faith. Have lost all that they had for Jesus. Church, the storms will come. The storms may have come. And I know some of you, I've walked with some of you. The storms have come. Some of them are with you right now. For some of you, they haven't come. But here it says that God wants us to build our life on solid foundations. So that when the storm comes, we can survive and continue. So in closing, I want to go back to those three questions that I started with. I've waffled a bit, but I haven't preached for weeks, so I haven't waffled for weeks, so forgive me for that. But if we look back at that passage of Scripture, Jesus asked a searching question, "Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I say?" May we never be people that say, "Lord, Lord," and do not do what he says. If you have problems doing what he says, well, come and talk to one of the elders. We'd love somebody to come with us, to us, and say, "Can you help me grow in my faith with Jesus?" We'd love that, wouldn't we? We got a lot of other things, but we don't get many of those things. Come and talk to us. And we'd love to find somebody to help you to grow. But may we never be people that pray, may we never be people that play that act with Jesus and only nod and say, "Lord, Lord," and do not know what he says. Jesus sees everything. May we be people that are rooted in his word. May we be people that come to God and put the things that God teaches us into practice. But may we be people that build our lives on the solid foundation that is Jesus. I have to be honest, church. You've spoken. I've prayed. We elders have prayed. We're going to meet with the diaconate this week. God has spoken. Before us, we have a wonderful opportunity. A wonderful opportunity to bring about God's kingdom by his help in this place and in other places that he calls us to serve. And as I was away over the summer, the Lord said to me, to do that, we need to be strong disciples. And I want you to be honest with yourself this morning and ask yourself the question, where do you fit in all of this? Are you the one that says, "Lord, Lord," but for years have just done nothing about it? Are you the one that is part of that 50% or that 20% that will leave here today and not read your Bible till next week? Are you willing to actually live your life like that? I tell you what, I'm not, because I need Jesus every moment of the day. If you don't, well, I don't know what you're doing, because you're going to fall over. But are you willing to invest in your life to put down strong foundations? Because if I was to put two houses on this platform today, from the soil upwards, you would know no difference. If I was to put Anjanette here, come darling, please, just for a moment, come and stand with me. She just rolled her eyes, I saw that. Come and stand with me. Did anybody else see that? Still. Bless you. But from, you see, all of our lives, we all look the same. But actually, well, I don't look the same as you. We all look similar. You're beautiful and I'm trying to get there. But the reality is, what I want to say is this. We all come to church on Sundays, and actually Anjanette and me, and we all look very similar to each other. But when the storm comes, if Anjanette's got a solid foundation with Jesus, she's going to remain standing. And if I haven't, I might look the same as her or the same as others of you. I might come to church and I might lift my hands and I might sing some songs. But when I leave this place, my life is built on nothing. The point I want to say to you is this, on our outward appearance, we might look all the same. But on our inward appearance, God wants to make us strong people with lives that are strong on the truth of Scripture as strong disciples of Jesus. The question I want to put to you this morning, are you willing to sort that out? Are you willing to change? Are you willing to be a stronger disciple for Jesus? Because Jesus needs you to be. Because Jesus, when he went to be with his Father, he said this, I have left my spirit with you to continue the work that I have started. And I will be with you to the very end of the age, but I want you to do it. Raleigh Baptist Church, what God has presented, will present to us in the coming days, for the coming 5 years, is not underachievable one bit if we are strong, solid disciples on solid foundations for Jesus. Let's pray. Thank you, beautiful. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for your word. We thank you, Father God, that you're a God that forgives us. You're a God that restores us. You're a God that equips us. You're a God that says when our hearts are sorry and when there's true repentance, you build us up again. Well, Lord, I pray this morning that we would be people that build our life on the solid foundation, which is Jesus. Yeah, we may listen to other things. We may read other things. We may watch other things. But may we build our life on the truth of Scripture. May we build our life on the Word of God. So that when the storms come, we will continue. That when the storms come, as they probably will do in the coming generation in our country, that the church will continue. Because we're holding fast to the things of the Lord. Lord, help us to be people that have a hunger for Jesus. Help us to be a people that when we know the foundations are not good enough, that we'll work on those foundations. And that we'll resource ourselves better so that we can be stronger for Jesus. Lord, I know for the things that you're asking of us to do, you need a strong house to do it. And Lord, I pray today for those of us this morning that are in this place who need a touch of your Spirit to restore us, to maybe even just restore our wings, to restore our minds, to restore our attitude. I pray, Father God, Spirit, and change us. I pray, Lord, that we would not play that risky game with Jesus and just play lip service to the King of the universe, because if we do, then we're fools. But I pray that we would say yes to Jesus, yes to living for him, yes to being a disciple for him, yes to be obedient to his word, yes to building strong foundations. And may the words of our lips be words of obedience to the things that Jesus asks of us to do. Lord, I know that you have shown us your ways. And I pray that we as a church and as individual people will be obedient to play our part in it. So Lord, I pray with all my heart that you would forgive us today of the things that we've done that have dishonored you, that have not glorified you, that have taken us away from you. Draw us back to you, Lord. Draw us back to your presence. Draw us back to your word. Draw us back to your spirit. Rebuild our foundations if you need to. And make us strong again. So that we will not boast in other things, but that we would be stronger to proclaim the gospel of Jesus and to reveal to others the Jesus that we've learned to love, who's accepted us unconditionally. We live in a world where they need to know Jesus, and we as a church need to demonstrate Jesus. So help us by your Spirit, I pray today. In Jesus' name. Amen.